You're listening to the N2K Space Network.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
There are a lot of lawsuits going in Boeing's direction lately. I don't want to make light of that either. There are some very serious issues going on with Boeing, clearly, given what's been happening with its airplanes in the last few years. And a Boeing lawsuit is our top item for the briefing today, but it's not what you might assume. This time, Boeing is the one filing the lawsuit.
T-minus 20 seconds to LOS egress.
Go for deploy.
Today is March 26th, 2024. I'm Maria Varmazes, and this is T-minus. Boeing sues Virgin Galactic over trade secrets. Ingersoll Rand to purchase ILC Dover for a cool $2.3 billion. Apex's Ares sends a selfie from space. And our guest today is Dr. Elena Hyde, director of York University's Allen I. Carswell Observatory. We're going to be discussing the April 8th solar eclipse here in North America, so stay with us for that chat. Here's a look at our Intel briefing for this Tuesday. Boeing and its subsidiary Aurora Flight Sciences are suing Virgin Galactic for $25 million. The lawsuit says that the sum of money is what Boeing is rightfully owed for its work on a new generation ship, which the lawsuit just refers to as the mothership and does not specifically name. The work that Boeing's lawsuit refers to came under a contract between the two companies in 2022, in which Boeing's Aurora agreed to provide design engineering services. In addition to the sought amount, the Boeing lawsuit also accuses Virgin Galactic of holding on to Boeing's intellectual property from this work, like test data and math equations, and demands that Virgin destroy this retained data. In the lawsuit, Boeing alleges that, and I quote, "These trade secrets are proprietary information to which Virgin Galactic holds no contractual rights," and that the retained intellectual property could be used by Virgin Galactic, and I quote again, "to advance design of a new mothership on its own or with a different supplier." For its part, Virgin Galactic says, "We believe this lawsuit is wrong on the facts and the law, and we will vigorously defend ourselves in the appropriate forum." Ingersoll Rand has announced its intention to purchase ILC Dover for approximately $2.33 billion. ILC Dover is best known, in the space world anyway, for being the primary supplier of spacesuits for NASA, but it also makes products that are used for safe handling of pharmaceutical agents during drug manufacturing processes. Ingersoll Rand says it will establish a life sciences platform within its precision and science technology segment, consisting of the company's life science-focused brands, plus ILC. The deal is expected to close in the second quarter, and it includes an earnout tied to the achievement of select operating efficiency metrics in 2024. Apex has announced a successful demonstration of end-to-end capabilities of the Ares platform. The company received what it's calling a selfie from the Ares Serial No. 1 Call to Adventure mission. The image was taken by a payload owned by Apex, which completed commissioning last week. The picture was taken by a camera mounted on the satellite bus's payload deck. And the company says that all the major subsystems, including power, thermal, GNC, and communications, all had to work together to acquire and downlink the photograph, which Apex says proves the mission's success. Space-based data analytics and space services company Spire Global has closed its previously announced registered direct offering of over 2 million shares of Class A common stock at a purchase price of $14 a share. The gross proceeds of the sale will provide the company with approximately $30 million before deducting placement agent commissions and other offering expenses. The company has also issued the investors in the offering an option to acquire up to an additional approximately 2 million shares at a price of $14.50 per share until 100 days from the date of closing, which could result in additional gross proceeds of approximately $31 million. Spire Global says it intends to use the net proceeds from the offering for repayment of debt, working capital, and general corporate purposes. What a world we live in when a SpaceX Falcon 9 launch no longer even makes any kind of headline. Today, however, it's worth mentioning that Monday's flight, which launched a further 23 Starlink satellites to low Earth orbit, was also the 175th flight of the vehicle from Launch Complex 40 at Cape Canaveral. And speaking of SpaceX, the company held a static fire test of 6 Raptor engines for the next Starship vehicle. The company says the test is in preparation for the next Starship launch, which is expected, fingers crossed, as early as May. SpaceX and the FAA are still analyzing data from the March 14th launch of the Super Heavy vehicle, and SpaceX aims to launch the Starship a further 6 times this year. We'll see about that. And staying in Texas, the state governor, Greg Abbott, held a press conference at NASA's Johnson Space Center to announce the new Texas Space Commission.
Now, with the Texas Space Commission, our great state will have leaders who are laser-focused on advancing the next generation of human space exploration and connecting that exploration with real-life economies here in our country and across our globe. They will encourage the development of emerging technologies, promote economic development for space, aeronautics, and aviation, guide research into space exploration all across our state, help to develop workforce training needed to return to the moon and to eventually reach Mars. And they will cultivate the infrastructure needed to establish spaceports and so much more. As we return to the stars with a renewed zeal, NASA is teaming with Texas companies like SpaceX, Firefly, Blue Origin, and so many more to achieve the latest dreams of manned space exploration. Texas will be the launch pad for Mars. And as we look to the future of space, one thing is clear. Those who reach for the stars do so from the lone star state, the great state of Texas. And now I will pass it to the...
Admittedly, we're still not sure what the Space Commission is or what it will be doing in the near future, and that's on us. But we can say that this is a hyped-up press conference that we think could have been better covered, maybe in an email. Moving on. Intuitive Machines says its lunar lander has come to a permanent end of life. The Houston-based company shared the message that Odie has permanently faded after cementing its legacy into history as the first commercial lunar lander to land on the moon. The solar-powered Odysseus operated on the lunar surface for 7 Earth days, which was the expected length of the lander's surface mission. However, Intuitive Machines held out some hope that the lander, fondly referred to as Odie, would wake up when sunlight bathed its solar arrays once more. Alas. A package of 3D mapping technology designed by Australia's National Science Agency, also known as CSIRO, has reached the International Space Station after being launched on SpaceX's 30th Commercial Resupply Services mission. The payload was developed in partnership with Boeing and with the support of the ISS National Laboratory and NASA Ames Research Center. The technology will provide multi-resolution scanning for potential use in monitoring unmanned outposts. Astronauts will fit the device onto a NASA robot called AstroBee that roams the station and can assist with a range of tasks, including mapping the layout of the orbiting lab. I love AstroBee. I'm always happy to talk about it. And that concludes our briefing for today. Head to the selected reading section of our show notes to find further information on all the headlines that we've mentioned. You'll also find an announcement from Momentus about their new CFO and details from Venus Aerospace on their inaugural supersonic drone flight. Hey, T-Minus crew, if you're just joining us, be sure to follow T-Minus Space Daily in your favorite podcast app. So if you could do us a favor, share this intel with your friends and coworkers. So here's a little challenge for you. By Friday, please show 3 friends or coworkers this podcast. That's because a growing audience is the most important thing for us, and we would love your help as part of the T-Minus crew. So if you find T-Minus useful, please share it so other professionals like you can find the show. Thank you so much for your support. It means a lot to me and all of us here at T-Minus.
And now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and Zero Trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.
Our guest today is Dr. Elena Hyde, director of York University's Allen I. Carswell Observatory. I spoke to Elena about the solar eclipse that's coming up on April 8th across North America and what viewers can expect on that day.
There's an absolutely massive eclipse event coming up this year on April 8th, and this will affect a huge region of North America, covering parts of Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. So this eclipse path is going to have a wide swath and pretty much throughout all of North America, with the exceptions of Alaska from the U.S. and parts of the Yukon, and actually a corner of British Columbia. They won't be able to see anything, but the rest of us will. So even in over in Vancouver, they're going to get a partial eclipse. In Winnipeg, they're going to get a partial eclipse. In Nebraska, they're going to get a partial eclipse. Here in Toronto, partial eclipse. However, if you want to know where the real action is, there's a very narrow little swath that's going to get the total eclipse. And so that's the spectacular image that most people will have seen online of, you know, the sun becomes dark and you get this beautiful white glow around it. That's the corona. And that is something, and this is very important, you are only going to see if you are in one of these very narrow region areas that is covered by totality. So there's a huge amount of places that are going to experience a partial eclipse, which means you won't notice anything unless you have viewing technology out. So you have viewers, you've got safety rated glasses, something like that, a pinhole camera. So for people who are looking for eclipse glasses, just keep in mind that there are verified sellers. So you do want to make sure you get the real ones. Do not use sunglasses. Do not look directly at the sun. Do not use regular sunglasses of any kind. They do not work to actually protect your eyes from the sun. You could really, really get bad damage to your eyes. And people have been known to go blind from this. So I just don't want to have people getting eye damage. If you go to the time and date or the eclipse.aas, they have lists of solar viewing glasses for eclipses. And I guess you folks in the U.S. don't have a Canadian Tire, but you do have Walmart, and they actually do have NASA. Most places that I've seen have NASA solar viewers, especially when you have a fairly large portion of your partial eclipse being an event. So if you're at 30% or higher, you have something to see.
Assuming there is no heavy cloud cover, which is what I am betting on where I am located on that day.
Yes. And that's if you have heavy cloud cover, even in the heaviest heavy cloud cover, if you are in totality, you will still notice something because it will go from being heavy cloud cover to being nighttime amounts of darkness. And the animals will still react, actually. to that shift. And so one of the interesting things about totality is that it is an experience. The temperature changes, the wind will change, the animals will react, because light, and I mean, we could get into a whole discussion about light pollution. Light is very important to our environment, our nature, even the bugs and the, you know, the bird, as they say, the birds and the bees, everything responds to light levels. And so when you have a sudden change, like you do in totality, there's lots of different things you can notice. And so it's a very unique and special event that I have never seen. So
me neither. Yeah.
I'm going to get in a car and drive and hope for the best. But if you are in that path, you can't help but notice it. So, you know, just make sure you're not like driving somewhere, right? You don't want to be distracted when totality hits you. But it's a very, 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 and I emphasize the word very, very small part of anywhere that's going to see the totality. So statistically speaking, you're not going to see it unless you are in one of these very small areas. And just a little bit of fun trivia, even in Canada, up in Montreal, only half of the city gets to see it.
Oh,
so that's actually managed to go past half of their city.
I know a bunch of people going to Montreal for that, so I better check in with them for that.
Yeah,
make sure you're the right part of the city.
There are a few cities like that. So some places, like of course Niagara Falls, very popular, both sides of the border, totally covered by totality. You're good. So if you're in Niagara Falls, you absolutely will get to experience totality in some form.
If you do happen to be able to experience totality, it's not a super long event though, right? It's just a few minutes, right?
Minutes is the long form. So this event will be between something like 1 minute, maybe even less, all the way to 3 or 4 minutes, depending on where you are. And so it is absolutely vital to get yourself a good eclipse calculator. And, you know, I know I mentioned, of course, Niagara Falls earlier. So Niagara Falls is in a pretty good place. They're getting 3 minutes and 30 seconds approximately. You know, the farther away you get from the center of totality, the less you get. So you go a little bit outside of Niagara Falls or Rochester and you go out to like 2 minutes. You get on the edge of totality, like that, I say, the line that's going through Montreal.
Montreal, yeah.
Yeah, so you go through the edge there, and you might only get 30 seconds of totality or less. So if you've just walked across the line, it'll be a blink and you'll miss it.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh. Does your location, in terms of how north or south you are, if you're on that line of totality, I'm just thinking of people, for example, who are going to be gathering in Texas. There's a bunch of people doing like eclipse parties.
Oh yeah, well, Texas is a great location. I know it is basically going sort of right through Dallas, and a few other places in Texas are getting pretty good shows. But Dallas itself, it's worth noting, is not going to get all that much time. So it's a little off of totality. So if you went. What is that, west of Dallas? And I guess you'd have to drive along one of the highways going west. You could get out to a place where you're in the center of totality and you'd get 4 minutes and 23 seconds, which is pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah, I was going
to
say.
You go to Dallas, it's down to 3 minutes and 52 seconds.
That's still not too bad. I mean,
It's not bad. But if you keep going to the edge, it'll go down lower and lower. So, you know, if we're talking about the Dallas region, by the time you go out towards, Fort Worth, it's down to 2 minutes.
That's still not too bad. I mean, yeah, when we're talking about like animals being affected by the darkness, I was just thinking it was just a matter of maybe 30 seconds. And I'm going, don't they need like a cool down period of like a dusk or something? But it's almost like the lights go off and you know, it seems like the many of them immediately react, I guess.
Well, that's, yeah. And so as totality is happening, what you can imagine is, so the light from the sun is being blocked and the moon is casting the shadow on the earth. And so the shadow of the moon is actually fairly wide, but the darkest point of the shadow, that's what you need for totality. And so you have this whole region of atmosphere, of air, that's all of a sudden getting colder. And it's getting a little shock of cold. And so what happens when you make a bunch of air a little bit colder than it used to be? Well, it creates wind gusts. It can create little winds and, basically clues to the animals that something is happening. How noticeable it is will depend on, I mean, obviously, if there's a big storm happening, that's going to throw this out the window. But, you know, you can get a pretty noticeable effect. And the reaction from animals in the area will depend on how much time they've had to react and how much they notice. And obviously, if you're in a very calm place with clear weather, you'll get a much bigger effect and more noticed by the animals involved. And which animals, you'll have to go ask. We'll have to get a biologist on.
Yeah, see, I'm asking you questions that are not related directly to your field of study, but I figured I would ask. The other question I have about this upcoming eclipse is, I keep hearing about it being a specifically extraordinary in some way. I don't know if that's just hype. But then I'm also hearing about that it's like the only one we're going to have in a large part of North America for a very long time.
On average, there's an eclipse somewhere on Earth every 18 months. But the chance of it hitting you is real low. So it will be well over 100 years before another eclipse comes along this kind of path to hit in our area. And by our area, I mean the sort of Toronto, New York part of North America.
You and I are both in like the northeastern part of North America. Yeah, we're in up
in
that
exactly.
area.
Yeah, exactly. So we would have to wait quite a while to get another eclipse here. When are you ever going to be this close again? If you are not afraid to travel, you can always take eclipse cruises. And a lot of them do go through the ocean.
That makes a lot of sense, given how much ocean there is in the world. Yeah, what's funny is I won't be home for the eclipse, so I'm going to completely miss it because I'm going to be at a conference where the eclipse is not going to be happening, which is just killing me knowing that.
Oh, man. Yeah, so if your conference can relocate anywhere into the eastern half of North America, you're good to go.
I know. It will be in Colorado, so I will be nowhere near. Yeah, I know. It's like, oh, there's an eclipse in my backyard and I won't be there to see it. Fantastic.
Well, Colorado will get 66%.
Oh, that's not too bad. So maybe I can see a little bit.
It's not too bad. So, and this is something to keep in mind. Colorado will have the partial eclipse. And the farther west you go, the less of a partial eclipse you will get. So, for example, San Francisco, California is only going to get a 35% eclipse. If you go up to Vancouver in British Columbia, Canada, only 17% eclipse. So they
Sorry,
really don't
Vancouver.
Get much.
Well,
yeah. But yeah, as I say, so this one of the things that people have noted is, of course, because it covers such a wide part of North America, you can be many places and see this eclipse.
We'll be right back.
The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
Welcome back, and have we got a story for you today? Imagine if your resume read 2022 Time Woman of the Year, 2019 Nobel Peace Prize nominee, and future astronaut. Impressive, right? Well, that's the reality for Amanda Nguyen. Space for Humanity has announced that it is sponsoring Amanda Nguyen's dream of becoming an astronaut. She will be heading to space on a Blue Origin New Shepard flight as part of the organization's Citizen Astronaut Program. Amanda is a civil rights activist and founder of RISE, and she's known for her work on the Sexual Assault Survivors Rights Act and advocacy for Asian American rights. She will become the first Vietnamese woman to fly to space. Executive Director of Space for Humanity, Antonio Peronacci, said, "Space for Humanity could not be more proud to team up with and support Amanda Nguyen's journey to space.
Amanda's novel voyage will represent a much overdue, shining example to countless others. We here at T-Minus cannot think of a more deserving recipient of a spaceflight and know that Amanda will be an incredible inspiration to many around the world. She also already is. That's it for T-Minus for March 26, 2024. For additional resources from today's report, check out our show notes at space.n2k.com. We're privileged that N2K and podcasts like T-Minus are part of the daily routine of many of the most influential leaders and operators in the public and private sector, from the Fortune 500 to many of the world's preeminent intelligence and law enforcement agencies. This episode was produced by Alice Carruth, mixing by Elliot Peltzman and Trey Hester, with original music and sound design by Elliot Peltzman. Our associate producer is Liz Stokes. Our executive producer is Jen Ivan. Our VP is Brandon Karpf. And I'm Maria Vermazes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustai.